It's a blessing. Where would you rather be than at a church service and worshiping the Lord and fellowshipping and listening to the Word on a Sunday morning? What people don't know they're missing out on. So, big welcome to everyone here. First of all, the home folks and the visitors. Welcome everyone. It's really good to be here. Could we kneel together to pray? Our Father in heaven, we do call upon you this morning in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for your continued work in our hearts. Lord, thank you for working in my own heart. I know you've been doing that, Lord. And I welcome you to continue. Lord, this morning I ask in Jesus' name that you would fill me anew and afresh with the Spirit of God. I ask God that you'd give me thoughts and inspiration. And Lord, the things that you've laid upon my heart to share, help me to communicate that. And I ask, Lord, that I could do it in a way that people could understand. I ask, Lord, that you would, by your Holy Spirit, take these things way beyond what I share even and apply it to our hearts. Lord, I would ask for those that are gone. Lord, you know there's various families that are missing this morning, but I especially pray for those who are ministering in other countries. Lord, I would ask for Jariah and Marion. I would ask, Lord, for Joel and Esther. I would ask, Lord, for my son Josh. I would ask, Lord, that you would be with Ruth. I would ask, Lord, that you would be with missionaries across the world. Oh God, we do ask that the word, your kingdom, would come here on the earth as it is in heaven. And God, we're not satisfied with where we are. We would ask in Jesus' name that you would take us on farther in our walk with you. God, I ask that you would help us to not be lukewarm. We ask, Lord, that you would come and, Lord, whatever it takes to keep us on the straight and narrow path, we welcome that. Even though many times it means difficulties and hardships, we ask God that you would do those things in our hearts. So thank you for being here. In Jesus' name, amen. The title this morning is in the form of a question. In the form of a question, and I believe that for many of us, we very lightly look at this question because we maybe, what I'm going to call, have experienced salvation. But I say it carefully because I would like to put out the idea this morning that there's many people who call themselves Christians who profess to know what salvation is and yet have a very wrong understanding of what salvation really is. And I believe there's a bit of confusion out abroad on the whole subject of salvation. And that's why I'd like to just this morning again open the Bible and take a fresh look at Scripture and look at what salvation really is. And I won't this morning look at how to find salvation. That's a different subject. In fact, I've had some requests that hey, could you give a little teaching sometime on how to lead someone to salvation and to conversion? And I'd like to maybe sometime do that. Like to do that sometime. But this does not go down that line. If you would like to turn with me to the book of John, chapter 3, we'd like to read some of the verses there. The book of John. It's interesting. There was a Pharisee in the days of Jesus by the name of Nicodemus. It says there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi. Jesus was a rabbi. Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto you, unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master in Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. But everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. We'll stop there. Those are some very beautiful words that Jesus put out there to Nicodemus. Maybe this morning we'll start with some of the negative things that are not there if a person has not found salvation. And this morning we'd like to first of all, look at salvation, what it is, and then also not just salvation, the initial conversion experience, but salvation on through our life. Salvation is a much misunderstood subject in Christianity today. I believe it is. If you consider with me evangelical Christianity, there is this idea that salvation is a time when you become born again, and then it's like this ticket, and as long as I have that ticket in my wallet, I'm good, and I can live the rest of my life, and yes, I'm to serve God, but the rest really doesn't matter. There are others. There are others who look at salvation as simply an assent to God's word, and I endeavor to obey the Bible, and they miss a clear conversion. But let's consider some of the things that are always there when someone has not yet found salvation. Let's consider some of those things. Actually, I'm getting ahead of myself. There's some that believe that upon confession of sins and baptism that we are converted. Now, that sounds familiar, right? There's some that believe that upon confession of sins and baptism, you're converted. There's some that believe that once you've received salvation, you cannot lose it. There's some that believe that baptism and being a member of a church makes you ready to meet God. There's some that believe if you simply believe you are, then you're converted. But let's look at some of the things that are always there when a person has not yet found salvation. First of all, is the Word of God is not alive in the heart. Right? I think if we go down the rows here, and before you found salvation, yeah, you read the Bible, but it just wasn't alive. How many of you was it that way? It was for me, right? If you opened the Word of God, the Bible was just simply not alive. And when I found salvation, there's something that opened up to me. It just, the Scriptures, it was there. It was alive in a way that it was never there before. It's always there. When a person finds salvation, it's there. Here's another one. Here's something that that is not there when you don't have salvation. We are not becoming more Christ-like. Here's another one. There's no witness of the Spirit in the heart. Here's another one. There's no expression of peace and rest that the Spirit brings on our face and in our body. You know, sometimes we walk into a place of business and we start talking, and there's just that sense of connection that comes. There's an expression on the face, and there's a couple comments that are made, and it's not even, it doesn't even have to do with the Word of God, but there's this, something rings clear, and you ask a couple questions, and yes, they're converted. Those things are not there if a person has not yet found salvation. The Spirit does not connect. Their spirit does not connect with our spirit as believers. Here's another thing that's always there. There is a continuation of going in my own way. You know what I mean? Just selfishness, pride, trying to cover up. These strong inclinations that sometimes are just simply out of control. Those things are still there. Those are some of the negatives. I would like to, before we go further, I'd like to just simply talk about something that is out there not so far from our circles. In fact, sometimes there's these teachings float around. Today, because of the misuse of In the evangelical world, there's a misuse. There's a very strong push for conversion, but then just live how you want. There are some, and those teachings are floating around, there are some that I'm going to say are very weak on a clear conversion. And I don't know if you follow what I'm saying, but sometimes you'll read articles. There are some of those writers around, and there's some of those teachers that are around. You'll read articles or you'll listen, and there is a very strong emphasis on obedience. But when it comes to a clear conversion, there's, because of what's seen in the evangelical world, there's a backing away from a clear conversion. And I like to just put that out as a concern. I like to just put that out. Because as we look at clear salvation, it begins with a clear meeting of God. A time when God meets with us. And we want to look at these verses of what the Bible says that happens within our hearts in this conversion experience. And there's a conversion. And for conversion and salvation, it's so different for everyone. It's unbelievable. You go, you know, from person to person in this room, and everyone's is vastly different. And yet, conversion, there is some things that happen at conversion that's always there. Conversion is a transformation. And so when I talk about taking away the emphasis of conversion and lifting up obedience, I would like to put them together. There's no way to have a clear, obedient life and walk with God without having a clear conversion. And if you have a clear conversion and then you walk after the flesh and after your own way, the Bible says, they that endure unto the end shall be saved. And the new birth, salvation, or conversion is what I'm going to call simply entering the door. Okay? Conversion is not an end in itself. There are many who believe that conversion, once you're converted, then you've got it. And I know that for many of us as parents, we're very excited when our children get converted. There's an excitement. We're excited, and rightly so, moms and dads, right? Rightly so. We're excited when our children get converted. But conversion is simply entering the door into a life of serving God. It's simply the doorway. And if we don't enter that doorway, we can't live for God. There's no way. We can try to obey the Bible in many ways, but it's not conversion. Conversion, we have to enter the doorway in order to then walk with Him. But salvation or conversion, the initial conversion, the new birth, is only an entering in and then walking in obedience the rest of our lives and being faithful to God. Turn with me to the book of Ezekiel in chapter 11. We want to look at a prophecy here. If you look at the beginning, or if you look at Ezekiel, at the book of Ezekiel, he was having some visions, and the Lord was talking to him, and he was showing him some of the wickedness that was going on in the land of Israel those days. And he showed him the holiness of God coming down and meeting with him. If you look in the book of Ezekiel, the children of Israel were at a very bad place. And it seemed like all the children of Israel, they were just going their own way. Horrible wickedness, horrible ungodliness. There was no surrendered will to serving God. They were in idolatry, horrible idolatry and wickedness. And then in verse 19 is where I'm going to break in. Ezekiel chapter 11 and verse 19. I'm actually going to start reading in verse 17. Therefore say, thus saith the Lord, I will even gather you from the people and assemble you out of the countries where ye have been scattered. And isn't that how the world is today? Wickedness and wicked people are scattered throughout the face of the world. I will even gather you from the people and assemble you out of the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. And they shall come thither, and they shall take away all the detestable things thereof, and all the abominations from thence. Now verse 19 says, and I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit, see that? I will give you a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and I will give them an heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep mine ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. I want to look at a couple of those words a bit. It's very clear this prophecy was also then in the New Testament. It's quoted as a fulfillment. But if you look at this, it says that I will put a new spirit within you. So, children coming up and coming to the age of accountability, there is a lost condition that settles into the heart of a young person. There's a lost condition. And because of that wicked, undone nature, that nature that's in there, because of that nature, out of that comes sin. Now, dads, you know, your five-year-old, how many of you taught your sons to pinch his brother? Or to kick him? Or to bite him? Or to make a face? You know what I mean? There's that sinful nature that's in the heart. Okay? And the Bible is very clear in the book of Romans that happened when sin entered into the world with Adam and Eve. When they disobeyed, there's a curse came on all men. And that sinful nature settled down on men. And so the Spirit of God is not present. At that point, the Spirit of God is not present in the heart. It's not there. Now, He'll convict us, but it's not in the heart. Salvation is when God comes and puts His Holy Spirit in our heart. That's conversion. That's conversion. Conversion is when God... You know, we can do lots of things. We can repent. We can try to believe. We can do a lot of good things. But salvation or conversion ultimately is when God sees that there is certain things there that He's now able to come and make everything pure and put His Spirit in the heart. That's conversion. That's conversion. And when that conversion takes place, all of a sudden there's a new nature there There's new desires. There's power to overcome sin and all those beautiful things. That's conversion. Okay? Now, however you want to call it, and however it happens, you know, all those kind of things. Conversion, when everything's shaken down, is conversion is when God Almighty puts His Holy Spirit inside the heart. And God can't put His Spirit inside a corrupt heart. So there are certain things that need to happen in order for that to take place. And we won't go there this morning. I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out. Isn't that something? He'll take the stony heart out. Right? He'll take the stony heart out. And He put His Spirit in there. That's conversion. And give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk. That they may walk. That's obedience, right? That they may walk in My statutes and keep Mine ordinances and do them, and they shall be My people. They now become My people. God says, if I come and I take that stony heart out and I put My Spirit in there and they walk in My statutes and My way, now they're My people. Before that, who are they? We're lost, right? We're lost. We're not following after God. We can do some things that the Bible tells us to, but unless those things are there, we don't have salvation. We don't have salvation. Consider with me, I'd like to quickly look at Saul. The Bible says these words. It says, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. Did you hear those words? I mean, that sounds like a pretty corrupt heart. And yet, he was very zealously serving God, so he thought. He was putting his whole heart into doing what he thought was God wanted him to do. But look at the things that were coming out. It says, Saul breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired him letters to Damascus to the synagogues. Now see what happens. On the road to Damascus, God sent the light down. He stopped. He said, Lord, what do you want me to do? God told him, you go over to Damascus and I'll send someone to tell you what to do. We don't like that, right? God, I want you to tell me what to do. I'm going to send you over there and I'll send someone to tell you what to do. So he goes over there, and a man named by the Ananias came and just lays his hands on him, and he received the Holy Ghost. And look at what happened. Okay? Did you hear what happened? There was, there's breathing out threats and of slaughter against the disciples and all that. And all of a sudden, God took that stony heart out, put in a heart of flesh, put His Spirit inside of him. And all of a sudden, he was sitting with the disciples. All of a sudden, he was the one that was preaching. All of a sudden, he was the one that was trying to make other disciples, and he was sharing the gospel. What happened? There was a new nature there. See the difference? It's a new creature. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse 17, it says these words, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. There is a change. And this is maybe an old example, but I'd like to just show this to you again. This is good. And I know here a number of weeks ago, some of you saw some of this.
But is there anyone here? This is a worm. I have a worm in here that's going to become a monarch a butterfly. Is there anyone in here that likes worms? There are some people that do. Jared's okay with it. Is there anyone else that likes worms? Okay, you do? Okay. Is there others that like worms? Normally the majority of the people don't like worms. How many of you wouldn't mind having this worm sit on your leg? Or how many of you wouldn't mind? You wouldn't mind if it crawl up your leg? Okay. Or what about crawling up your arm? How many of you wouldn't mind if this worm would crawl up your arm? Okay, there's a couple. Is there others that wouldn't mind? Okay, there's a couple. Okay. Okay, now look at this. There's a couple here. You know, it's less than half a dozen people who wouldn't mind. Okay. I'm just going to do this, okay? One of you who doesn't mind, Jared, I know you have a sleepy one here, okay? I do want to come up here. Okay, I hate worms. Okay, now before we, just hold it once. I need another volunteer that hates worms to come up here. Who's a volunteer that hates worms? Come on. Who's a volunteer that hates worms? I'm going to need to nominate. Yeah, there you go, Brand. Good. Thank you. Great. Okay. Now, just put your arm out once. I'll turn around so people can see it. Okay, now, and by the way, let me first, before we go any further, let me tell you what's happening here. This worm is going to turn into a cocoon soon, and then it'll turn into a butterfly. And I think everyone here would love to have a butterfly sitting on their arm, right? Everyone would love that, okay? But there's something about this worm that's detestable, and that's how the unconverted man is, okay? All right, that's what I'm trying to, okay, now, yeah, just put your arm out, okay? Now, can you put the worm on his arm? I don't want to touch it myself, but can you do that? Okay. See his face? Okay, there's disgust there, okay? okay. I'm just going to say, for most of us here, that's disgusting. Okay, that is the unconverted man. Okay, without Christ, without him having changed us, you know, it feels, okay? Yeah. Thank you. Appreciate it. All right, you can go sit down. Thank you very much. Okay, do you get the picture? Okay, that worm, just very soon, that worm is going to spin itself like this. And I didn't ask that lady. She was here, here a couple of weeks ago, but she has everything figured out. We got this from her this morning, and I'm sure she knows what day this thing's going to hatch. In fact, she told us the other day, she brought us some, and she said, tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, this thing's going to hatch. And so at 9 o'clock, at about quarter till, we gathered around and we watched. And at about 5 till 9, it crawled out of there. Okay? All right? And this beautiful butterfly comes out of there. Okay? From that ugly-looking worm that you saw Brandon's face, it just, yeah. You know, not everyone is grossed out by it, but most of the people here are grossed out. I am. I mean, you know, it just, you know, makes me crawl, you know, just thinking about it, okay? But that is, in God's sight, That is how we are, utterly detestable, wicked, ungodly. Just, you know, that's how we are. And then, one thing, it'll hang on there pretty good. But then it spins, and out of it comes this beautiful butterfly, and all of us would just, it's so delightful, you know, they don't, just quickly do that, but if a butterfly would sit there, oh, wow, so special, so precious, we'd all do that. We'd do that, okay, because it's turned from a worm to a butterfly into something totally different. It's a new creature. It has a totally different nature. You know, that worm, it crawls and eats and, and all of a sudden, if it becomes a butterfly, guess what it does? It, and it'll do that for about an hour. And after an hour, it'll fly away and sit down. It has a totally new nature. A worm could never do that before. A worm could never do that before. Never, ever, ever. There's a new nature there. There's wings there. There's power there. There's strength there. There's beauty. That's conversion. It's the Spirit of God coming down into the heart, taking out that stony heart, making all things new, putting His Spirit inside of us. And then there's a new nature. We flap our wings. We can sit together. We can talk about Scripture. And there's excitement. You know, before it was a drudgery to talk about Scripture. You know, before it was, we enjoyed living in sin. Now there's something, sin is detestable. If we're really walking with God, sin is detestable. There are people who fall into sin and their heart becomes hard again. Even after they've been converted, there are people who fall into sin and their heart becomes hard. Sin makes the heart hard. And God again needs to come and bring breaking. God again needs to come and break that hard heart and wash it so that His Spirit can come. Oh, the beauty of that. Let me just tell you, I'm not sure how many days, but this will have wings on very soon. And that worm, in a short while, it will spin just like this, and it will become a butterfly, a new creature. A new creature. You know, it's a little bit like having open heart surgery, where everything that gets opened up, and they go in there and they do major stuff in there. That's what God literally does. God literally comes, and He literally takes the sinful, stony heart out and puts in a heart of flesh and puts His Spirit in there. Such beauty. Such beauty. If I could say it this way, when people become converted, and I just started here, but I would like to use another illustration. Could I have a couple volunteers to just go to all these windows and put the blinds down? Could you do that? Including the ones on the back door. Could you put all the blinds down? Acts chapter 26 and verse 18, it says these words, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. At a conversion, when a person gets converted, there is a very clear coming from darkness and a coming into the light. Can you hit the switch? Okay. All right. Darkness. There's darkness here. We can't see very well. It's dim. We can look around and we can see each other's faces and there's fuzziness there. We can look into each other, we can smile and it's there, but things are not clear. There's not a clear understanding. There's not a full understanding of the Word of God and a full understanding of God's will. All those things are fuzzy, just like they are now. It's darkness. And there's many ways that God brings people from darkness into light. Everyone's conversion experience is very different. God uses different ways to do that. But there is a clear, when someone becomes converted, there is a very clear coming from darkness into light. You can put the lights on. Big difference. It's always there. Conversion is when someone comes from darkness and he comes into the light. That's conversion. And there's many people that give instruction. Okay, now pray the sinner's prayer. Okay, all right, now you got it. Is that conversion? That doesn't say we shouldn't pray. That doesn't say we shouldn't help people. But that's not conversion. Conversion is when God, by His Holy Spirit, takes that stony heart out and He puts His Spirit within us and He gives us a heart of flesh and we come from darkness into light. That's conversion. And if we have a couple volunteers to open those windows so we have some brightness again, that would be great. Thank you. Okay. Here's another one. There are some people who have the idea that it's simply an initial experience, and we can still live in our sins. You know, I've met various times with people, and they say, yes, I'm converted, I'm born again, I'm serving God. And yet, in the middle of that, they live in horrible sin. And then after they're finished, they go home and they say, God, would you please forgive me? And then 2 weeks later, they again live in a horrible sin. They commit horrible wickedness in the eyes of God. Say, God, would you forgive me? But their heart is hard. Their heart is far away from God. Matthew 1, verse 21, it says these words, and he shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. If we have the Spirit of God, God is going to come and He's going to save us from our sins. God's going to come and give us victory and power to overcome by the Holy Spirit of God within us. We go from darkness to light. It's not saying that we never sin. But we do not live in sin. And if we live in sin, there's something wrong. Either you haven't been born again, or you have a hard heart and you need a clear repentance. And again, a surrendering of everything to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And you need the Spirit of God to come and give you power to overcome. Let me just very quickly I think what I'll do is I wanted to talk a bit yet about how he's going to guide us into all truth, but I'm just going to mention that if the Holy Spirit of God is within us, he will guide us into all truth.
Some years ago, my father was talking to a friend of his. And he asked this friend of his, he asked him this question. He said, "The people from your church fellowship, are they becoming more Christ-like? You know, 5 years ago to where they are today, are they becoming more Christ-like? Or are they moving further away from God and His Word?" That's a good question, right? That's a real good question. Okay? And he asked him this question. And he wasn't, you know, he wasn't trying to put him on the spot. He was just, there was dialogue going on. And this brother, he thought for a long time. He thought for a long time. And then this is what he said. He said, "Well," he said, "to be very honest," he said, "if I'm very honest with myself, I must say that the majority of the people from our church are moving further away from God." Now that is a sobering thought. That, I'm going to say, is a sobering thought. When we think of conversion, when we think of what salvation is, when we think of what God wants to do, and He wants the perfect bride, and He wants us as a church to be drawing closer to God. And if we're really honest with ourselves, I guess this is my, you know, what I'd like to just put out there this morning for us to consider. Where are we today compared to where we were 5 years ago? Is God slowly conforming us into the image of Christ? Is God doing that? That's salvation. That's salvation. That's what it's all about, right? It's when there's been a clear conversion and God is slowly taking us and all those things in a heart that are not Christ-like. One by one, He's putting His finger, by His Spirit, He's putting His finger on those areas in our life. And when He puts His finger on them, we respond and we repent. And we beg God to change that too. And there's specific change that comes. And then time goes on and He puts His finger on another area in our life. And He asks us to change that too. And then again we repent before God. We ask Him to change that. And there's deliberate effort and change. We're saying no to our flesh. We're saying no to our own way. We're saying no to our own desires. The things of the world, all these things, we're deliberately saying no to those things. There's a dying to the flesh. And then He again puts His finger on another area. And we again say, "Lord, I want to change. God, would you change that in my heart?" Isn't that what salvation is? Isn't that salvation? That's salvation. You know, the conversion experience is only the beginning. But salvation is a lifelong process. Where conversion, we enter into the door of holiness. The door where the Spirit of God connects and puts His finger on areas of our life, and we willingly respond to God. We want to change. And yet, many times, as He puts His finger on those areas of our life, it hurts. It doesn't feel good. We're embarrassed. We see how foolish we really are. Right? You know, we see how undone we are. How shameful we are. We see that.
And as we see that, we humble ourselves before Almighty God, and God is creating us into His image day after day after day. That, my friend, is salvation. That is salvation. That's salvation. Isn't that right, Brandon? That's salvation.
Romans 8, verse 16 says, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Salvation. What is salvation? Isn't that a pretty picture of salvation? Beautiful. Beautiful. May the Lord help us. May the Lord help us to be conformed into the image of Christ day by day. Lord bless you.